Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yom. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now in the middle of the fourth chapter of Masechet Gittin, at Mishnah, still the end of Mishnah Vav, which begins in the middle of Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. Ein podine tashvin yater al kadei demehen mimnei tikkun ha'olam. I didn't put this on the page. It's a very famous story of the Maharami Rutenberg, who was taken captive by the Germans and ransomed for a great amount, and the Jewish community wanted to redeem him, and he refused based on this takana, that you may not redeem captives more than their value because of tikkun ha'olam. We'll see what that means. V'ein mavrichin et hashvuyim, we don't try to help them escape, mei tikkun ha'olam. And what's that about? Mei takanat hashvuyim, to make sure not to hurt the other captives. We'll see. Now, Ibayaluhu, the first question is, Haim Netikun Ha'olam is Mishum Duchkar Tziboruhu, is it to not oppress the community too much with paying exorbitant amounts and impoverish them? Hodu Mishum Delo Legarbu V'Laitu Tfei, or is it so that the captors will not come and take more people, and take more captives? And Toshma, the Levi Bar Darga Parka Levarte Betlesar Alfe Dinari Zahav. This particular Levi redeemed his daughter for a huge amount of money, 13,000 pieces of gold. Now, that seems to indicate that the issue is simply a communal one, and if an individual wants to pay a high ransom to redeem somebody, that's fine. Amar Bai Man Le Malan de Bertson Chachamim Mavad, who says he did the right thing? Domo Shalom Bertson Chachamim Mavad. Maybe what he did was against the will of the rabbis, but he had the money. All right, the next piece was, Ein mavrichin et hashvuyin. What's the difference between Tanakam and Shem Gamliel? If there's only one captive, then Rabbi Shem Gamliel would say, sure, you can go and steal in and break through and get him out, because there's nobody else they're going to hurt. The tikkun ha'olam is that they're going to be rougher with future captives. Rabbi Shem Gamliel, that's not his concern. All right, Bante Rav Nachman, Bachshan Kidra Biadaihu. The daughters of Rav Nachman, this is a particular story about him, from here to the end of the piece is this story, they were stirring a particular pot. They were standing together. Sounds like, of course, the beginning of Macbeth. Kashalei the Rav Elish. Rav Elish was bothered by a particular thing because he saw that these are girls who, these girls were very, very righteous. And he was bothered by the pasuk, Adam echad me'alef matzati v'shav v'chol elu lo matzati, the pasuk in Kohelet, that essentially says that it's impossible to find a righteous woman. And he said, Ha'ika bante Rav Nachman. Look, these daughters of Rav Nachman were righteous women. So gamal hu milta v'shtavyan. Something happened and they ended up getting taken captive. V'shtaboi ihu nami bahadayu. He was also taken captive. Yom achar aviyotiv gabei ahu gavra davayada v'lishana da tzipore. There was a person sitting there who knew how to understand the talk of the birds. Ata urva v'kakarile. A raven came and called to him. Amarle maika amar. So if Elish asked this fellow, what did the raven say? Amarle Elish barach, Elish barach. That Elish should run away. Elish should run away. Amar urva shikrahu v'losa michale. Ah, the raven's a liar. Interesting. He believes that the fellow understands the raven, but the raven's lying. Adahachi ata yonah v'kakarile. Then a dove came and cooed, and called, Amarle Maika, Amra, what'd she say? Amarle, Elish Barach, same message. Amar, Knesset Yisrael, Kiyonam, Atila, several places in Tanakh, Am Yisrael is compared to a dove. Shraminam, Dachish, Linisa, I understand that I'm going to have a great miracle happen to me. Amar, Ezel, Echze, Bante, Rav Nachman, and I'm going to go see, I feel I'm going to get out, I'm going to go see if the daughters of Nachman, Ikaiman, Behem, Nutayu, if they have remained faithful, Ahadrinu, then I'll get them out too. Amar Nashi Komili de Idlahu Sidran Lahadadi Bevetakise. I know that women, they always talk to each other in the Betakise. Shmain, so he went and listened. Shmainu de Kamran, and he heard them saying, Adi Guvrin Unahardei Guvrin. These men are men, the captors are men, and the men in Nahardeya are men. So, in other words, what's the difference between the being with the captors or being with the men that we would eventually marry? Leima Lahula Shavuyahu de Rachakinu Mihachak. Let's tell the captives to get us far away from here. So nobody hears and redeems us. In other words, they were very happy to stay in captivity. So he suddenly realized that these women were not so righteous. Come, Araki ran away. Ata iuvahu gavra. He and that particular man, the man who knew how to speak, how to listen to the, how to understand the birds, were able to get away together. L'didate rachish leinisa avar b'mavra. He somehow had a miracle happen, and he was able to cross a river on a ferry, and he got away. And l'didate b'vahu gavra ashkechu aktalua. The other fellow got found and got killed. So the bird was right; he was going to be saved. Ki hadran ve'atan, when the they came back. When they were redeemed, and the daughters of Nachman were redeemed, Amar Havu Kabashan Kidro Bichshafim. He said, "You know what they were doing when they were stirring the pot? It wasn't because they were preparing food for poor people and they were so righteous. They were really engaged in some sort of witchcraft." All right, the next Mishnah, which is Mishnah Zayin. You cannot buy Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzot. I'm sorry, this is the end of Mishnah Vav. From non-Jews for more than their value in Netikun Ha'olam. Again, the problem is that they will then find it very profitable to go steal such things. Now, Amar Le Rav Budya Le Rav Ashi. He said to him, Yotar Akhtei Demen Hu De'en Lokhin. You're not allowed to buy it for more than their value. Habichtei Demen Lokhin, but you are allowed to buy them if they are at value. And the assumption is, Shvamina Sefer Torah Shem Sabi Yad Goy Korinbo, that you're allowed to use such a Sefer Torah that's found in the hands of a non-Jew, and you're allowed to use it to read. The answer is no. Dil Malig knows. We'll see that that's contested. So Rav Ashi gave the simple answer was no. Maybe it means you can redeem it if it's at that at value, and then you bury it because you don't know that it was prepared properly. I'm Rav Nachman Naktina. We have the following halacha: Sefer Torah Shiktavom Min. If a Min, which almost here almost assuredly means a Christian, wrote a Sefer Torah, then Yisareif, it has to be burned. Ktavo Goy. If a non-Jew wrote it, a pagan wrote it, Yiganez. Then it just be buried. Nimitza biyad min, if it's found in the hands of a min, then it's buried. Nimitza biyad goy, if it's found in the hands of a pagan, amri le yiganez, people say you should still bury it. Amri la karinbo, some people think you can read it. Now, Sefer Torah shiktavo goy, what about a Sefer Torah written by a non-Jew? Not a min, but a non-Jew. Tani chade yisareif, one version is it has to be burned, v'tani idach yiganez, should be buried, v'tani idach karinbo. And the third opinion, all possible opinions, you can actually use it and read it. Read from it. So lo kasha, hadatani sarev, the brayta that says it should be burned, follows Rabbi Eliezer hi. Da'amar stam machshevet goy l'avodah zarah. This is a sugyan of avodah zarah. And Rabbi Eliezer says that generally when a non-Jew does a ritual act, his intent is for avodah zarah. So therefore, if he wrote this Sefer Torah, he wrote it really for some avodah zarah. So it has to be burned as any other avizrayat of avodah zarah. Hadatani yiganez is the version that says it should be buried. Haitana, who it follows the following Tana, says there's nothing inherently wrong, but it's also not a kosher Sefer Torah. Rav Nuna Berei de Rava mi Pirshronya Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzot Shiktavan Min Umasur. If a min or a moser, somebody who's been kind of excommunicated from the community because he's an informer, goy ve'eved isha v'katan. That includes also a perfectly righteous Jewish woman, v'kuti v'Yisrael Meshumet, or an apostate, psulin. Why? Shenamar ukshartam leot layadech, ukshartam otam leot layadchem, and uchtavtam. And the tie-in, sorry for the pun, between tefillin and writing a mezuzah is called sheyishno b'kshira, yishno b'ktiva. Anyone who's obligated, and by the way, who by his own belief practices, which is why the apostate is out, putting on tefillin is also obligated, and therefore someone who to write a Sefer Torah, and therefore somebody who's writing is valid. Kol sheyishno b'kshira, yishno b'ktiva. That's his opinion. Hadatanya Korinbo, the opinion that says you may read, Hi Tana, who it follows from Shimon Gamliel, Tanya lokchin sfarim nagoyim b'chol makom. You can buy Sifrei Torah from non-Jews. Vachuk tuvin kilchatan, as long as they're written properly. Umaasem begoy echad betzaidan. There was a goy in Tzaidan in the north shores of the Kinneret. Shaya kotev sfarim v'hitir from Shimon Gamliel likachimenu. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel allowed people to buy sfarim from him. So you see that he wasn't concerned that it wasn't written properly. As long as physically it's presented properly, that's all that we care about. Shimon Gamliel, Ibu Lishman Boy, Ktiva Lishman Laboy, but we know that Shimon Gamliel demands that the parchment of a Sefer Torah be prepared with the proper intent. So he, that he is concerned with, but writing it properly, he doesn't concern, that doesn't make sense. The Tanya, how do we know that he holds that the preparation has to be done properly? Tzipan Zahav, Osh Talalian or Behemat Me'ah. If he covered it, coated it in gold, or put a non-kosher animal skin on top of the parchment, then it's no good. Psulot. Or Behemat Harak Sherot. Valva Bishaloib Dan Lishman. As long as he puts the cover on top of the skin of a proper kosher animal, even though it wasn't worked over properly, lishman, for the right intent, it's kosher. Shemagam Liel Omer Afilu Or Behemat Harap Psulot Ad Sheab Dan Lishman. Shmuel Gamliel disagrees and says, even if you have a proper kosher animal, it's still no good until the parchment is worked over and processed, lishman. So why would he say you can, a non-Jew who certainly doesn't have the right intent and can't to write a Sefer Torah, how come that's kosher? So I'm Rabbi Shmuel, Beger Shechazar the Suro. We're talking really not about a non-Jew, but about a non-Jew who converted and then reverted back to his old ways. That's why we call him a Goy. Lusuro? If he went back to his old ways, kol shekein d'havi le'min. That's a classic min. Amar Rashi shechozer l'suro mishum yira. He went back because his neighbors or the government, whoever it is, forced him, and he was really afraid to remain Jewish. But in his heart, that's where he really was. So therefore, Mishum Gamliel allowed us to use such sefer Torah, which means a sefer Torah written by a goy in no sense could be used to be read from. Tan Rabbanan ma'alin b'dman ad kedei trapik. You can. The Mishnah said that you can't pay more than the value of Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzot, to get them back from the non-Jews, say, well, you can raise it by a little bit. My trapik, Amrav Sheshet Istara. It's one single coin, small coin. Hahi Tayata. So there was an Arab woman. Da Aiti Chaita de Tefillin de Kame da Abaye. She brought a bunch of Tefillin to Abaye and wanted Abaye to buy them. Amarla Yahavtli Resh Resh Pitamri, would you give me each pair for one date? In other words, he was offering an exorbitantly low price. Imalya Zihara, she became filled with anger. Shakla Shatinu Minara, she threw the whole bunch into the river. So Abai realized he'd made a mistake. Amarlo Ibaile Lizalzaluni Ba'apekuli Hayar, should not have been so disparaging to her right in her face. That really was not nice, and that's of course why she did this. All right, the next Mishnah, which now is Mishnah Zion, Hamotziat Ishto Mishum Shem Ra, Lo Yachzir, Mishum Neder Lo Yachzir. That's the halacha. If a person divorces his wife because she has a bad reputation of an adulteress, or because she took a neder or a nedarim and he doesn't want a wife in the nedarim, he can never remarry her. We'll see what the conditions are on this. There's a lot of details on the neder. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol Neder Sheyadubo Rabim Lo Yachzir. If it's a neder that the public knew about, we'll have to see what the public means, then he cannot return her, but if they didn't know about it, then he can. He takes a different angle. He says, any neder that needs the investigation of a chacham to find a way to be matir it, that can't be returned, he cannot return, but if it's not such a difficult neder and anybody could be matir it, then he could return her. Rav Elazar said it's the opposite. It's really that a neder that doesn't need chakirat chacham is the real problem, and a neder that needs a chakirat chacham, that really needs investigation, really isn't the problem, but we prohibit that one as a precaution against the one that's really problematic. Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Maaseh Bet Sidon, a story that happened again in the same town of Sidon. Ve'achad shamar le'ishto konam im eini megarsheich. I'm taking a neder if I don't divorce you. Which means now it's the flip side. The guy took a neder. Ve'gersha, ve'tiru lo chacham she'achzirana b'nei tikkun ha'olam. And the chacham allowed him to return her and remarry her. And there it says b'nei tikkun ha'olam, which doesn't make any sense. The Gemara will fix what that phrase means at the end. Okay, the first thing to deal with here is when he divorces her because of a shame ra or because of a neder, what's the concern? What's the tikkun ha'olam that doesn't allow him to marry her? That the tikkun ha'olam is coming to assuage that concern. And how do we publicize this? Amar Rav Yosef bar Menuhin Rav Nachman, version 1. V'ushamar la mishum shem ra ani megarshech. Oh, motziach mishum neder ani motziach. He has to tell her at the time and publicly say, I'm divorcing you because of this cause. Why? Kesavar. He says, Tamamai, what's the reason for the takana mishum kilkula? Here's the problem. If he divorces her because of a neder, and then, or because of shem ra, and he investigates, it turns out it wasn't true. And then he comes to her 5 years later. She's remarried. She's got children. And he said, you know, had I known that you really did not have that affair, I wouldn't have divorced you. And our concern is that now that may mean that the get retroactively is meaningless. And that means that her second marriage is messed up. Her first marriage is now messed up. The children of Mamzerim, it's a terrible, terrible consequence. So therefore, Iyamar lahachi matzim akalkala. So if he says publicly, I'm divorcing you because of the shame ra, then he can be makalkel, because then he comes back 3 years later and says, I didn't know, wasn't true. Had I known, I would have done anything to keep you as my wife, and that wouldn't negate the get, and that would mess up her life. Therefore, in that case, we say you can't ever remarry her. And therefore, the guy will know, ooh, if I'm going to do this, I better really investigate well and make sure that she did this. Or at least, if he divorces her, we know that he really does want to divorce her and would not want her back in any case, because he knows the consequences. Okay? That's ilo lo matzi makalkala. If he doesn't say this out loud, he can't be makalkal her, because if he comes later and says, ooh, had I known that, who says you divorced me because of her reputation? You just divorced me, didn't say anything. Therefore, he cannot mess it up. So therefore, according to this first version, the only time when we make the tikkun olam that he can't remarry her is if he announces that the reason is that. Now, ikadamri, some people say, I'm Rav Yosef bar Manumi Amar Nachman, the same tradition, not that he declares I'm doing it because of that, but rather he says to her, you should know that that's why I'm doing it. What's the difference? What's the reason for the tikkun olam? That the daughters of Israel shouldn't be licentious and shouldn't be too light with nadarim and easy for them to take nadarim. Therefore, he has to announce it. So other women hear, ooh, this girl, she was messing around, and look what happened to her, and she can never remarry. Now, we have a brayta supporting each one of these versions. Tanya Kalashna Kama, Amrav Meir, Meir said, why is the halacha that you cannot remarry your wife, that you divorced because of those two things? Shema telech v'tinaseh le'acher, because perhaps she'll marry another man. Zudvarim badain, and then it turns out that the rumor about her was untrue. V'yomar, and he'll come and say, Yiti yodeh shekenu, if I knew that you were really innocent, afilu hayunot nimli me'aman elo hayiti megarsha. Even for $100, $100,000, whatever it is, I would not have divorced you. V'nimtsa get batel v'nem amzerin. And therefore, it turns out that the get will be retroactively invalid, and the rest of her life is messed up. Her kids are mamzerim, etc. Lefichach omrim lo. Therefore, we tell him, Heve yodeh, you should know, shamotzit yishtom mishum shemra le'achzir, mishum neder le'achzir, that you will never be able to marry her again, and therefore he'll investigate well, and if he divorces her, we know that he is really not interested in marrying her back. Tanya Kalishna Batra, we also have a brayta that supports the second version. Amrav Elazar Rav Yosi, Neima Amru Hamotzit Ishto Mishum Shemra Le'achzir Mishum Neder Le'achzir. What's the reason for it? Shlo Benot Yisrael Putzot Bariotu Vindarim, that Benot Yisrael should not be licentious or too comfortable, too easy with taking the darim. L'fichach Omrim Lo, therefore we say, Emorla, you better tell her when you divorce her. Ve'odach Mishum Shemra Le'achzir Mishum Neder Le'achzir. Okay, the next opinion in the Mishnah was Rabbi Yehuda, who put a specific detail on the issue of the neder and said, "Kol neder sheyadu bo rab me'achzir mishum v'shelo yadu bo rab me'achzir." Shmuley my tam Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda think that a publicly known neder is different? Dichtiv v'lo hikum b'nei Yisrael kinishpu lahem nesiyei ha'ida. This is the story of the Givonim, who take a look in Yehoshua chapter 9. It's the entire chapter is devoted to this story. The Givonim were a nation that lived in the heart of Eretz Binyamin, and they knew that they were going to get wiped out and dispossessed, and they dressed up as if they were from a distant land and came to Yehoshua and said, we've came from a distant land, and we come to learn about your God and to join your people, and they sign a pact, and they take an oath, and then when they find out that they really are locals, Bnei Yisrael don't hurt them, and Yehoshua and the leaders save them from Bnei Yisrael, and later get involved in a dramatic war, the famous war of Shemesh v'Givon Dom, coming to their defense. So the reason that oath was upheld was because the elders had done it. It was a publicly known oath. That's the idea Rabbi Yehuda had, that a publicly known oath cannot be reverted. Rabbanan hata michal shvua layukal. The Rabbanan say, that's not the case. That shvua doesn't even count. After all, Kevin Damer Lomeritz v'chokab banu v'lobau, since they lied and they said we're from a distant land, they really weren't. Therefore, lo chal shvua levayo klal, the shvua doesn't even really count. So why didn't Am Yisrael kill them? Mishum kedushat Hashem. It would be a chil Hashem to make an agreement with somebody and then turn your back on it. But the oath itself was not the issue. So now, how big is public? How many people have to know about this ned, therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, for you not be able to remarry the woman? He says three. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Asara. Ten. Well, 10 seems to be much more reasonable. Where did 3 come from? So it's important to note that in the Parsha, in Parsha Metzora, the Torah describes a zava, what we call it halachically a zava ktana and a zava gdola. Zava ktana is a woman who sees blood, not during her regular time, for 1 or 2 days in a row. In which case, she has to keep the next day pure, go to the mikvah when she's done. If she sees 3 days in a row, then she has to have 7 clean days, etc. And that's what we all practice in every case with Nida, zava gdola. Now, how do we know 3 days? Because it says yamim rabim. Yamim, of course, is days, which the minimum is 2. And rabim adds another one, so that's 3 days. So therefore, Rav Nachman amar shlosha, because yamim shnaim, rabim shlosha. Rabbi Yitzchak amar asara dichtiv eda. In the story with Rabbi Yehuda, which according to Shimon Levi was the source of Rabbi Yehuda saying rabim, the text says that the elders of the congregation, and from that very intricate limud that's in the third parak of Masechet Megillah, that teaches us that all dvarim should be kedusha have to be done with 10, we learn it from Eda and Toch, and it's several things linked together having to do with the Eda of Korach and the Meraglim, but we end up coming to the definition that Eda minimally means 10 people. And therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak says, I'm not going to be hung up on the word rabim in Rabbi Yehuda's verbiage because he's using it in a rabbinic sense, and I'll look at the pasuk that he's referring to and say that we need to have 10. Now, Rameir kol neder shetzarich chakirat chacham. Rameir said that any neder that needs the investigation of a chacham to imatir, she cannot remarry, but if it's not, then she can. Rabbi Elazar says both are asur, but really the key one is the one that doesn't need chakirat chacham. Rabbi Elazar melos shut sarich al neisha enot sarich. The Maika Mipalgi, so what's their machloket about? Rameir Savar Adam Rotze Shetit Bazei Ishto Beveitin. This, if literally translated, comes out horribly, so we have to correct it or explain what it means. It means a person doesn't mind if his wife has to go to Beitin. Right? That's Rameir. Therefore, a person will not be bothered by the fact that his wife has to go to Beitin and to go to the Chacham and be Choker, and in such a case, there is a concern that he will say, oh, had I known that you could have been matir such a neder, then I would have taken you back. It messes up the get, etc. All right? Now, Rabbi Elazar Savar, en adam rotzeh shtbazei ishto beveitin, a person would never want that. Therefore, we're never really concerned about a neder that's intricate and we need chakirat chacham, because that, the husband never would have wanted her to go to the Beit Din and get it mutar. The real concern he has is the one that's done, that does not need Chakirat Chacham, that she could sort of privately get released from, but they answered both because of that one. And we also have Yehuda, Masebet Sidon, the story in Sidon about the fellow who took a neder against, that he would divorce his wife, otherwise he'd be he would be under the ban, and they allowed him to remarry. My Tanik Tani Maisa, what's this story doing here? The answer is Chasur Mechsav Achik Tani. That this whole Mishnah is only if, this whole Takana is only if she takes the oath. Aval Nadar Ihu, and we saw throughout Nadarim that Nadarim were a particular problem when it came to women, that they were more likely to utter inappropriate Nadarim. But Nadar Ihu Yachzir, if he takes a Nadar, then he can remarry her. There was a story in Sidon. And the story supports that wasn't a problem. Now, the Gemara then continues, my konam, what was the neder that he took? He said, all fruit in the world will be also to me if I don't divorce you. So he had to divorce her. But once he divorced her, he said he could return her. Obviously, he could return her. Perhaps we should not allow it because of Rabbi Natan's consideration, which is the Tanya Rabbi Natan Omer, Hanoder ki ilu bana bama. Anybody who takes a neder, it's as if they built a bama. And if you fulfill the neder, don't think that's so good. Ki ilu kivala korban. It's like you brought a korban on this bama. And as Nadarim are terrible. And so therefore maybe we should say, you know what, you did a terrible thing taking such a neder, you can't remarry your wife, that's it, you're finished. Kamash Balan, that we don't say such a thing. Now, Ne Tikkun HaOlam, Maim Tikkun HaOlam Iko, what kind of Tikkun HaOlam is there where we allow him to remarry his wife? That's just the halacha. Rav Sheshet Aresh, Rav Sheshet says Tikkun Olam is explaining the earlier thing that never said Tikkun Olam about not being able to remarry your wife if she took a ned, sort of particular, if you divorced her because of Nedarim or because of a rumor. Ravina Mar Li Olam HaSeifer. Ravina says, no, it's really on the safe. V'achiktani Ein Bezum Ne Tikkun Olam. What it says, Tikkun Olam, doesn't mean to say that he may marry her because of Tikkun Olam. It's say there's no reason to ban him from remarrying her because there is no consideration here of Tikkun HaOlam. Okay, we'll continue the next podcast as we slowly inch our way towards the end of Perek Revi'i, but continuing on with Tikkun HaOlam through Perek Chamishi. Everyone should have a wonderful day.